It's a schuss and an honor to be here today. As I say every week, one of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. And we're going to do like we always do. We're going to ask a couple of questions. And then we're going to hopefully come out with that major yisod, that major foundation point that we could really bring into our lives in a real, real way. Parshas Lech Lecha. What a jam-packed parsha. So let's ask a couple of questions. Again, we can't get through everything because then we'll be here for 4 hours and then everyone will turn off their recorders. If you might turn them off before anyways. But we're going to try to have a major yisod. I had a breakthrough yisod that I think is very applicable to our lives. So let's see. The Torah tells us, Perikid Beis, Pasuk Aleph, Vayomer Hashem El Avram, Lech lecha me'artzecha u'miladecha mi'beis avicha el ha'aretz asher areka. Hashem says to Abraham, go for yourself from your land, from your birthplace and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. And Rashi tells us, a lot of Rashi's on this pasuk, but Rashi tells us at the end that he didn't tell him that he's going to Eretz Yisroel. Why, says Rashi? In order to make it precious in his eyes, to show him that every statement about the land, he doesn't know where it is. It's like taking your kids on a trip. Dad, are we there? Where are we going? Where are we going? And you don't tell them. The excitement. Wow, it's in the air. So that's what Hashem wanted to do here. But what was this test? As we all know, that the Mishnah Pirkei Avos tells us that Avram had Asara Nisyonos, that made him into a person, that made him into Avram Avinu. What was this test? Almost everyone says that this was the test of Lech Lecha. What was it all about? 1B is last week's Parsha, Parsha's Noach. We spoke about it very interesting at the end. The difference between when Avram was put into the furnace, and we know Haran was also put into the furnace. Avram made it out alive. Amazing miracle. And Haran was not, didn't. And we asked a question, we were talking about the difference between an Avram and a Noach. And a Noach represents the idea of, yeah, he has some leadership, but it was outside, and that's why he's called, we're not called B'nai Noach, we're called B'nai Avram, because Avram was within him. He decided that he doesn't care what about his surroundings, but he's going to fight against it. But when the whole world was destroyed by a Noach, he couldn't deal with it, and what happened, he got drunk. So the question is why doesn't anyone say that, why doesn't the Torah tell us this test? Some Rishonim do say that this is one of the tests of Avraham, but in the Torah itself, it's a Medrash. So why is this not one of the first tests of Avraham? Why is the first test of Avram Lech Lecha in the Torah? Question one. Question two. It's very interesting. You look in the beginning of the parasha, and it says in Pasuk Dalet, Vayelech Avram Kasher Diber Alov Hashem, Vayelech Ito Lo, that Avram went as Hashem had spoken to him, and Lo went with him. And then the next pasuk, Vayikach Avram et Sarai Ishto, ben Lot ben Achiv. And Avram took his wife Sarai and Lot, his brother's son. Very interesting. Avram was 75 years old. My father loves Gematria. Lech Lecha is Gematria 100. So he was 175 years old, right? At the end of his life, his whole life's journey was 100 years, 75 years old, realizing that he has to make a life for himself. Lech Lecha, nice gematria, cute little one-liner, you can say at the table, you don't have to get out your notebooks and go on for hours and hours, you say a quick little vart, Lech Lecha, gematria 100, 75 years, he left his family's house, okay, nice. But the question is, ask the Gevaldik Nitziv, is what happened? In Pasuk Dalet it says that Avraham went, and as Hashem spoken to him, and then the next pasuk says, "Vayikach Avram." Was there two goings going on? That is the question of the Nitziv. That is the question of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, and that is a question of a lot of Achron. Question two. Question three. So much to do in this parsha. Wow. Okay, we can't do everything. At the end of the parasha, everyone's like, yes, the end, finally, good. He's getting on with it. At the end of the parasha, we know that Avram is getting bris milah, one of the three mitzvahs in Bereishis, right? Puravu, bris milah, and the last one, I have to remember, come back to it, probably won't, but the last mitzvah is in Bereishis. I think Avram and Achai, good save, Avram and Achai, I think it's the last one. All you have to do is look up a chinuch, and I'll tell you the first three mitzvahs in the whole Sefer Bereishis. But it's very interesting, because we learn that bris milah, and the end of the parasha in Lech Lecha, it says, Pasuk Perek Yizayin Pasuk Chav Hei, V'yishmol b'no ben shalosh esrei shana b'yimalo eis b'sar elaso, that Yishmol's son got a bris milah, be'etzem ayom hazeh, nimol Avraham was nimol, at that time, Avram was 99 years old. That's a little old, you know what I'm saying? Not so much you're getting a bris milah. You know, it's hard getting bris milah when you're eight days old. You know, imagine me 99. It wouldn't work for me. You know, I don't do well with pain. Wouldn't work. But well, Hashem, I had my bris milah at 8 days. But over here, that he had a bris milah when he was 99 years old. So the medrash, very fascinating medrash. I heard this medrash quoted many times from one of my rabbim, Yevanis and Sachs, Rashiva Landers, Gavaldik, actually on the cover of Mishpacha a couple of weeks ago, getting a shout out. So he quotes a beautiful medrash. The medrash says that, what does that mean, Nimol? Why is this language of Nimol? What's it all about? One explanation is Rashi brings down that he was 99 years old. So it was very hard for him. Another explanation is there's a machlokes between Rav Levi and Rav Bracha. You know, Rav Levi says something fascinating. Rav Levi says, you know what the pshat was? Is that Avram was born with a bris milah. What? That goes against everything we ever learned. So it says Rav Bracha, Rav Levi, you're a shakran. You are wrong. And he like takes him on. And he's like, yo, what are you saying? That's not pshat. He didn't have a bris milah. So what did he do? So he says, oh, he took off a little piece of the skin, but it wasn't a bris milah. So he turns to him and he says, what are you talking about? You're a chakran, Levi. You're a chakran. Rav Bracha turns to him and says, you're a chakran. Whoa, well, there's a little beef going on here. A little fight going on between Rav Levi and Rav Bracha, fighting it out. What's this all about? And last year, because this is, you know, the second year of the Parshish year. Last year we said, how come Avram, who got all of the Torah, obviously everyone remembers what we did last year, just a little chazal, but how come Avraham, who got Kol HaTorah Kula, the Gemara says in Yuma, Daf Chav Ches, so if he knew Kol HaTorah Kula, why did he need to have the mitzvah of Milah? Why did he need a tzivui from Hashem to have the mitzvah of Milah if he knew about it? That's a very famous question also. So again, a lot of questions. Question one is, what was the Nisayon of Lech Lecha? Why do we not have in the Torah itself the Nisayon of going into the furnace? Question 1a, 1b. Question 2 is, what happened? Avram went, and then he went again. It's two psukim, like back to back. At least, you know, a couple psukim from each other, we won't ask the question, you know, but it's right after. It says Vayelech, and then it says Vayikach. Like what, he went back? Question 2. Question 3, Bris Milah. What's going on with Bris Milah? Did Avraham have a Bris Milah before? What's going on with this Medrash? And why did Avraham need to be told? Why did Avraham need to be told if he knew Kol HaTorah Kula? Ah. So, we're going to try to intertwine this Yisoid. It's a major Yisoid. And again, I heard different pieces from different people trying to put it all together. That's my job, hearing different Torah from different people and trying to make it all into one big package. Avram's test of Lech Lecha. Avram, you have to leave your birthplace, your surroundings, your friends, and your house. And the Bali Musa explained, a lot of Midrashim explained that there are three elements of what affects a person and what Avram had to leave, and why it was so difficult. First one, let's go through it. Me'artzecha. Your land. Where you are, geographically, where you are. What are these people about? What is their mahus? You have to leave me'artzecha. U'miladecha. You have to leave your birthplace. You have to leave your close friends. You have to leave the area that your relatives. You have to leave that area. Umibeis avicha. You need to leave your father's house. These are three core relationships. Where we put ourselves, what setting we're in, what community we're part of, who are our friends, who are our relatives, and how we raise our children and what we bring into our children's lives. And they're all very important. And it might even go from community, which is important, but then going to relatives and family and close friends, and then parents being maybe the most crucial aspect of a child's upbringing. Baruch Hashem, I was raised with unbelievable parents who gave over so much to me and constantly keep on giving to me, Baruch Hashem. And I recently heard a shiur from Reb Rizak, who's a tremendous machanich in Israel, and he's getting well known throughout the world, giving seminars in America. And he explained that parents have such a crucial role in their child's development, and they make such a roshem, they make such an impression, because a child is developed and he gets a sense of who he is based on what parents give them. How else would a child know who they are? And yes, there are rabbeim and there are surroundings and there are friends. But when a child is being raised and a child is learning things about himself, so he's being built up from the parents. So again, there has to be, and what you know, the chinuch shiur that I'm going to, it's this sod of, on the one hand, you have to show love and you have to show them that they're so important to you. But on the other hand, you also have to show them that you have to be assertive with them and realize that they're not in charge. They have to have rules. And It's an interesting dialectic. I just wanted to use the word dialectic because I sound smart. It's an interesting dialectic of how do you combine both of those hands. Because on the one hand, they seem like contradictions, but putting it all together, because it's all about the love and the growth of the child. And that's really the tafkid of a parent. The tafkid, the job of a parent, or even, again, grandparents also, grandparents. Grandparents are great because the great best part about being grandparents, I'm not a grandparent, so I don't really know, this is what I hear, is that at least you can see the grandchildren and then you can just leave. Shalom. But again, you know, the grandparents put the work into the parents, who hopefully will bring it to their children, right? It's like one big domino effect. So now, what's it all about? So one big thing that I got actually in a recent share, what he just said, is that you can't label your children. A lot of times, the kid does the thing over and over again. But you can't say, you are this. Because the minute that you say to the child that you are this, they really believe you. He said an amazing thing. He said that, he asked a question to the share, is that a child, a 15-year-old boy, went over to his mother and smacked the mother. Chas v'shalom, but that's what happened. Mitzis, we don't like it, that's what happened. So the mother was a tough lady. She didn't hit him back. Well, for sure, Gemara says if you hit your child back, you could, you know, I wouldn't start with a boy, a mother and a boy. I don't know how big this lady was. I don't know if she'd take on the son. I don't know. He didn't give those details. But the mother turned to him and said, do you know, the Torah says that if you hit your parents, then most you must, you'll die. So the child, 15-year-old boy, turned to his mother and said, Ma, I learned in the Gemara and Baba Kama that that's only if the parent makes a wound and makes blood. You didn't make a wound. And he asked the shear, was that boy being chutzpahdik or not? So most people said, of course. Your mother tells you that you just hit me. First of all, you shouldn't hit your mother, you know what I'm saying? It's not a good thing. You just hit your mother, and then your mother just says, the Torah says you're not going to do it, and then the child just has the rebuttal of the Gemara Baba Kama, smart aleck. So that's what everyone said. Reb Rizak said something totally different. And I was thinking about it for a while, and it's really pashut. According to what I'm saying now, it's pashut. The child said Reb Rizak had to say that. Why do you have to say that? Because since the child believes his parents, and there's this trust, especially when they're little children, that there's this trust between the child and the parent, So what did the parent just do to the kid? The mother just told the kid that you're going to die. You're going to die. Oh, Rabbi, you're being extreme. She didn't really mean he's going to die. Yeah, but the child believes you. So if the child believes you and they realize they did something wrong and you tell them that they're going to die, the child says they're going to die, now the child needs to go in survival mode and say, no, that's not true. I'm not going to die. Because only if you make a wound. You know what I got from that story? Again, you can say the story is extreme and it's not right and he was chutzpah dick. You can say whatever you want. I'm saying turn off the recorder. You cannot listen to the shiur. You know that we make decisions in life. But there's something very important from this. Because the way we label someone, or especially when you label your children, has an effect and it could make or break them. It's crazy. It's a responsibility. And you know what? I want to take it a step further. The way we label ourselves could have an effect on ourselves. You know, I'm a Rebbe in Yeshiva and I deal with a lot of Bachrim. And usually, the Bachrim that have difficulties, the ones that have tough relations, their parents. Not always, you know, it's not. Again, raising children is definitely not easy. It's Siyata Dishmaya. A person has to do their Hashtadlis. It's not easy. Their Bono Shalom runs the world. But a lot of times, people label themselves of who I am. And the minute that you label yourself, it's very hard to break out of that. If a person says, I'm a guy that just doesn't go to shul, it's going to be such a fight to go to shul because you view yourself as a person that doesn't go to shul. If you're a guy, I don't learn, I didn't go to yeshiva as a child, it's not my fault. So you just labeled yourself that this is not who I am, and it's very hard to change yourself. As we all know, Rousseau Solander says that the hardest thing in the world is to change our character traits. Because we have character traits that we're born with, and then we learn things about ourselves from our surroundings, from who we are. Now, what does this have to do with Avram? Avram was being labeled by his parents. And he took it on, and he said, this is not right. This is not right. There's a Ribbono Shel Olam in this world. There's Hashem in this world, and He loves me. And this Avodah Zarah thing is not right. My father is wrong. So he took on the most important relationship, and he realized it was off. And he took it on. That's a major test. When you're a little child, or a different midrash on how old he was, but when you're a person that is being affected by their parents, Avram had such an emuna with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Avram realized that there has to be a creator in this world. This world just can't be like, just do whatever you want. That's not what it's all about. There's a goal. There's an order. And Avram realized that his first challenge in life was to realize that there's sheker being brought into him. There was falsehood being brought into him. And he needed to break through. And that's why that was the test. What a crazy test, and no one should ever be faced with this test. To realize that there's something being thrown at them that is wrong, that is false, and fighting against it. Now why? Why is it that the Torah does not tell me the first Nisayon, which you saw in last week's Parsha? I think the answer is like this. Is because if we saw that the first test was going into a furnace, most people are not jumping into furnaces, you know what I'm saying? That's a little strange. So we'd say, Avram. Avram is different than me. I'm not Avram. But the Torah gives us the test of Lech Lecha because sometimes we're faced with challenges and we don't know what to do. And again, no one should have this challenge of Lech Lecha. We, as parents, and even if you don't have children yet, you're building yourself now. The more Torah you learn, the more chesed you do, and the more you make yourself as a better person, you'll be a better parent. That's just what it's all about. So, you go, like, we got to keep on giving it to our children. But Avram had such a major test of the Lech Lecha that he was being taught one thing, and he was being labeled one way, and he said, I'm going to fight it. I'm going to fight against this. And we all have challenges in life. We all do. We all have different relationships, and we speak about this a lot. But how do I deal with my challenges? What do I do when a challenge comes at me? Obviously, a person can't put themselves into a test. If you put yourself into a test, you're going to fall. If you say, I'm going to put myself in a situation, you know, I once had a Talmud. He did very well in yeshiva, but before he came to yeshiva, he was involved in things he shouldn't be doing. He was involved in drugs and all the same things. And he went back and he said, I'm big, I'm strong, I could help those people. And guess what? Little by little, it seeped in and he went right back to his old ways. No one should put themselves back into tests, chas v'shalom. But sometimes tests are thrown at us. So how do we deal with it? How do we deal with tests? Now, I never spoke about this before, but I happen to love watching people bowl. I remember when I was in high school, I'm not such a good bowler. And my friends were bowling a lot. So I wasn't embarrassed, maybe a little embarrassed. So I remember my father happens to be an excellent bowler. He's very good at getting the spare, setting it up, and just finishing it off. My father-in-law also is tremendous. He has a bowling ball and shoes, takes it very seriously. And both excellent bowlers. We're not going to make a comparative study, right? But they're both excellent bowlers. My father actually took me bowling. I'm like, Dad, I'm really not a good bowler. And he taught me, right? Again, we're talking about parents, chinuch, and he taught me how to bowl and keep my hands straight. And I wasn't embarrassed. Again, I wasn't a great bowler, but you know, I wasn't getting the gutter bowls every time. But you know, I love watching people bowl. You know why I love watching people bowl? Because it's challenging. Most people are not good. It's a game of inches. You hit the pin that way, ba ba ba. Right? The game of inches. And I always like seeing how people deal with struggles. Again, no one should be put in struggle, but I like watching people bowl and see what happens. Like you get to see their facial expressions when they don't get that strike or they miss it by an inch. I have a lot of stories. There was one time actually I was in high school that the ball got stuck to my fingers and they couldn't get it out for like an hour and a half. I had a bowling ball in my hand, whatever. Strange thing. I was walking around with a bowling ball. I thought I was going to have a hand with a bowling ball. You know, forget about, you know, the Medrash of Nayach that he had a mitten hand. Now he had fingers like I had a bowling ball. You know, that'd be really weird. You'd bump into someone like, hey, Howard, whoa, you have a bowling ball in your hand. Okay, whatever. Thank God I got the bowling ball off. I remember actually one time my friend challenged me because I'm not a good bowler. I was decent, but not good. He's like, you're terrible. I'm like, bring it on. And he was a decent bowler. And Hashem gave me Siyata Dishmaya because I beat him by one pin. We were playing a dollar a pin, and I still have that dollar. I think from 20 years ago. I have to find that dollar, but maybe I don't. But it sounds good if I have that dollar. But how do we deal? Why am I talking about this? Not sure. But we're talking about this because how do I deal with challenges? When challenges face me, how do I deal with it? So recently a bachur came to talk to me, and he's a bachur that gets frustrated very, very quickly. Now every bachur that's listening to this is like, oh my God, he's talking about me. No, I don't think he's listening to this. He's a very strong-willed person. He probably doesn't even admit that he gets frustrated fast. And he was talking to me, and I said to him, again, I don't know if he's doing this, because you can't control anyone in life except yourself. So I gave him an eitzah. I don't know if he's doing it. If he does, hopefully it'll help him. If not, you know, he will make decisions in life. So I told him that once a day, when things are very frustrating and something doesn't happen the way you want it, I want you to say, it's from Hashem. It's from Hashem. And where did I learn this from? For Brizak Shir. He even has a song. I know everyone knows my song, Rome Wasn't Built in a Day. Rome wasn't built in a day. He has a different song, a little more catchy than my song. The song is... It's Hashem who did this thing, ain od milvadoi. It's Hashem who did this thing, kili oilam chastoi. Na 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 na. Right, it's an Avram Fried song. Why? Because it's such a major thing. Because when things don't go our way, how do we approach it? What is our response to it? It's Hashem who did this thing, right? We believe in Hashem. We believe that Hashem runs the world. We believe Hashem is part of our lives. So when something doesn't happen our way, and it could be small, it could be big, we instituted in my house that every time something doesn't happen, if the child immediately says, it's Hashem who did this thing, you get a star. And after 30 stars, we took the family out to ice cream. It was awesome. It was like a Gavale thing, ice cream. You know, it's not the biggest deal. My family happens to love ice cream. We got all the ice creams, right? My parents and my in-laws know that we take ice cream very seriously. We have know what we like and kasefit, the whole thing. And it was like a big thing. And now we're building it towards another thing. And then we hit, hopefully, 1,000 points. Right? Hopefully we'll get that soon. And we're going to throw down a big trip. throw it down. Right? And my kids are like, oh my God, it's going to cost me 50 grand. Got to start saving up. But no, because if a person brings within himself this idea that it's Hashem who did this thing, it's a game-changing idea. Because we do believe it, but now when push comes to shove and things don't work the way we want, when a person goes and he sits in traffic and he has an important meeting, like, what the heck? Like, or a person's plane is delayed, what's my first reaction? So a very, very, very spiritual person will say, Eino mevadai. And we're all normal, and we all have fallings sometimes, and we all get frustrated. When I can't take away someone's feelings. But it's Hashem who did this thing. You know what Avram was all about? Avram was all about, it's Hashem who did this thing. Avram was a person that took the initiative to do what he needed to do, and he would not stop. Comes along a hill in Netziv, and then Netziv says something awesome. He says in Pasuk Daled, you know what it says? It says that Avaykach Avraham, that Avram went and he Vayelech Avram Kasher Diber Alav Hashem. Avram went, and then the next pasuk was it say Vayikach Avraham Sarah Yishto, and then he says in Netziv, you know what happened? Avram had a plan. Hashem told him, you're going to Eretz Yisrael. And now what's going to happen? He's going to start, right away he's inspired, he's going to do it. But now he's going to come back and he's going to say, oh wait, how am I going to do that? How am I going to get there? So how am I going to make a partner on this and that? And he's going to start questioning it. So therefore, what happened? He's afraid. So says in Netziv, Netziv says this, nah, you know, not some Bava Maisa. Then Netziv says that what did he do? He went to Eretz Yisrael right away. And then he showed himself he could do it. And then he went and when he brought back Sarah, he went back. That was a crazy shot. Pasuk Dal, Pasuk Yeh, Dal, what's wrong with the child? You're like, what are you talking about? He didn't go back and go, yeah, freaking Flyers, Continental. Is there Continental anymore? United Airlines. Right? Because he went back and he came to get his wife and he went again. Because sometimes in life, we just got to go for it. We got to do our ishtadlus, realizing that it's the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam is running our lives. That's what it's all about. So how does this come into the last part? So again, Daled and Hey, no, he realized that he's going to do it with Hashem's help. With hard work, but with Hashem's help, he's going to do it. That's what it's all about. What about Bris Milah? What's Bris Milah about? Avram, why did the Medrash say he called him a liar? Because Avram didn't want to just do it at his own. When a person does something at his out of his own free will, it's because I want to do it. Avram wanted to be commanded from Hashem. He wanted to, as we've spoken about so many times before, he wanted to be a mitzuveh v'oiseh. He wanted to be commanded to do it. Because when you are told to do something for God, it's hard. Because maybe I don't want to do it. Maybe I'm not feeling it. But Avram said, I want to be commanded. So says Rav Bracha to Rav Levi, Avram of course didn't have a bris milah. He needed the tzivui from Hashem. He needed the commandment from Hashem to go and do this thing. He didn't want to do it at his own. He didn't want it just to happen. He didn't want a miracle to happen, says Rav Bracha to Rav Levi. Avram wanted the command from the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. And says the Mizrahi, the Perush on Rashi, you know why Avram waited for Hashem to tell him? Even though he knew Kol HaTorah Kula, he wanted to be on a level of Mitzuveh V'Oiseh. He wanted to be on a level of, I'm not just doing it because I want to do it. I'm doing it because Hashem told me. And I don't always understand everything that Hashem does. But there's something bigger. Because it's Hashem who did this thing. Ki li'olam chaso. Hashem is one running this world. Rosh Hashiva quoted Moshe Benevitz, who actually I work for in NCSY Kol, the director of NCSY Kol, Gavaldik. I never heard this chat before. It's very interesting. Avram is the man of the Amuna, the start of Judaism, the start of finding the Ribbono Shel Olam, but also at the same time, he is the paradigm for Gemilas Chesed. You would think that they shouldn't be come together. Again, Ben Adam L'Makom for Hashem, Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. But you wouldn't think that he's the master of everything. You never have someone that's like the master of everything, except Hashem. So what is Avram about? What is this Yisod? So this is the Yisod that we're talking about now. Is that Avram was able to realize that he has a limited vision to things in life. Yes, he has to do his ishtadlus and work hard, but it's Hashem who did this thing. Hashem runs the world. Same too in our relationships with people. relations to the people. People are very complex. And just because someone looks a certain way or acts a certain way in front of us doesn't mean that that person's not complex. And again, sometimes we have shot them and we think this is who the person is and this is why they're doing it. We don't know anything. We don't know what baggage they're holding on. We don't know what they're going through. So you know how Avram was able to be the master in relationships? Because he was able to look deeper and realize that it's not, you know, I might have a perception, this might be, and this person's not acting nice to me, but maybe this person's hurting. Maybe I did something to this person that was never really fixed. Maybe there's more. There could be so many reasons why certain things happen. A guy recently just came to me and he came with all these different explanations of why this is happening. And I was on the other side because I heard the other side. And I said, you don't know what's going on. Stop trying to play God. God knows what's going on. We don't know what's going on. So in order to better, you know how Avram was able to have amazing relationships with people and amazing relationships with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He realized that sometimes things are out of his control. And that's why I love bowling. Because when you bowl, you can be an awesome bowler. But nothing's going to be perfect. The only thing that's going to be perfect is Hashem. So I think this is a major yisod. We had a lot of yisod this year. One yisod is the way our parents, the way we give it over to our children, don't label. Don't label. Every child wants to do good. Every child wants to learn Torah and mitzvahs. Don't label. Give the confidence that they could accomplish whatever they want. Avram had the test that he had to fight against that. His parents were labeling him, telling him he had to do Avodah Zarah, and Avram was able to succeed. And that's an amazing thing. How was he able to succeed? Because he realized that Hashem is in charge of the world. It's Hashem who did this thing. I think all of us, as a shir, as whoever's listening online, once a day, I think it's game changing. It's not easy. It's easier said than done. Once a day, when something doesn't happen the way you want it to happen, you could sing a song, or you could say it to yourself, or you could think it to yourself. It's Hashem who did this thing. Let us all bring this idea into our lives, realizing that the Ribbono Shel Olam is part of our lives, because it's Hashem who did this thing. Realize that we have tzivui, we have commandments from Hashem, but He's doing it for us. And even if we don't fully understand, and even if we don't fully understand why that person's treating us that way, it's Hashem who did this thing. And realize things are sometimes deeper than we think. Although we might think we know everything, we don't. It's Hashem who knows everything. And Hashem loves us, and He wants the best for us. Everyone should have an amazing Parshas Lech Lecha. Realize how important we are to this world, to Klal Yisrael, to the world at large. And let us keep on working together and getting closer and closer to Hashem.